that freedom by law is freedom by practice only, where the law is not nullified by prejudice and narrow passions. Fanaticism and intolerance are not yet dead, even here. They can be destroyed only by increased goodwill and understanding. We, who love our country, must labor to develop that goodwill and understanding among all. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself is the basis of all true religion. It is the keystone of all true democracy. That command is obeyed in truth only, where no division of class, of racial origin, or of religious dogma divides neighbor from neighbor. And we must never tolerate such division in this country. Against intolerance and despotism, men and women of goodwill, of all races and of all creeds, must stand together and hurl back the answer that they will not abandon the principles upon which our democracy was built. We meet here today with a deep sense of gratitude for the liberties that have blessed us since the birth of the nation, and with a strong determination that we will defend those liberties with all the strength of our heart and body. No, the traditional policy of America of civil and religious liberty will not be abandoned. Against foreign propaganda or example, and against internal assault, it will find strong defense in the American spirit. American ideals will triumph because American ideals are founded on right and justice.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we give you the President of the United States.
Lehman, my fellow citizens of the state of New York, it is with deep personal disappointment that I find the affairs of the world such that I cannot be with my neighbors in Poughkeepsie today. That my great-great-grandfather, Isaac Roosevelt, sat in the little old courthouse here 150 years ago and cast his vote with a slim majority in favor of ratification of the federal Constitution is a family tradition of which I am proud. There are two words in the English language which in the heat of political controversy are often forgotten or abused. The words faith and confidence. It is well for us to remember that a very large minority of the inhabitants of the original 13 states opposed the adoption of the Constitution. They had witnessed the complete failure of government under the Articles of Confederation. Yet they were opposed to a real union because they believed those leaders who viewed with alarm any effort to think and act in national terms instead of state and local terms. And believe me, the professional fear-mongers of 1938 have little to learn from the viewers with alarm, the patrons of ghosts and hobgoblins of the days of 1788. I wish that all of you might read the dusty newspapers and pamphlets and handbills of 150 years ago. Feelings ran high. Vituperation and invective were the rule. The state of New York would cease to exist, and its people would be squeezed to death between the cold-blooded Yankees of New England on the one side and the passionate aristocracy of the South on the other, if you believed one type of publicity. The people of the state of New York would be ruined by interstate tariffs. and as a weak, independent nation would be reconquered by George III if you read the publicity of the other party. Washington, Adams, Hamilton, and Clinton were labeled traitors and dictators. And in the midst of these diatribes, this Constitutional Convention in Poughkeepsie was faced with the problem of saying yes or no. Then, as now, there were men and women afraid of the future, distrustful of their own ability to meet changed conditions, short-sighted in their dog-in-the-manger conception of local and national needs. They were afraid of democracy, afraid of the trend toward unity, afraid of 13 states becoming one nation. As the weeks went on, and an insufficient number of states had approved the Constitution to put it into effect, its opponents at this convention, realizing more and more that the very existence of that paper organization known as the United States of America was at stake, and that public opinion was swinging against them, narrowed their opposition to the fact that the Constitution contained no Bill of Rights. They held a slim majority against ratification. But at that moment, a small group of delegates, in which I am glad to say Dutchess County was well represented, came forward with an appeal to the faith and the confidence of the convention. They agreed that a permanent constitution for the United States should contain a Bill of Rights. And they proposed ratification by the state of New York in full faith and confidence that a Bill of Rights would be promptly submitted to the several states by the first Congress to meet under the Constitution. You and I know today that it was this proposal which won final adherence to the Constitution by a small margin. And more than that, that this proposal of full faith and confidence was in fact carried out by the Congress of the United States when it assembled. I do not know that it is necessary to elaborate on this parable, this text. It is perhaps sufficient for me to say that when in almost every generation, between 1788 and 1938, the people have been faced with similar decisions, they have in the long run expressed their full faith and confidence in the integrity and the safety of the national concept. It required great patience between 1783 and 1788, those 5 years after the close of the Revolutionary War, great patience to bring home the realization that 13 separate colonies, become 13 separate states, could not survive as 13 separate nationalities. Leadership toward the thought of a united nation had to be patient, and it was. Perseverance of leadership combined with patience has always won. Once the Constitution was ratified, it presented the outline of a form of government. But to become a workable instrument of government, its words needed men, men in every succeeding generation to administer it, men as great as the men who wrote it. And the greatest of them have been the men who have sought to make the Constitution workable in the face of the new problems and conditions that have faced the American nation from year to year. Yes, the greatest of them have been those who have not said, it will not work, it cannot be done, it must be changed, but rather those who have applied to the Constitution of the United States the spirit of full faith and confidence which has come down to us today from the convention which met here in the summer of 1788.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard the President of the United States speaking from the White House in Washington. We return you now to Poughkeepsie.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the speaking program